Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. All right, and welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am an architect, an alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for architects, property owners, land stewards who are longing to birth their dream sanctuaries through a new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. So it's been a while since I have recorded a new episode. I prioritized being offline with my family this summer, and I'm back nourished, ready to help you to birth your dream sanctuary, to help you to pioneer the new earth architecture. You are in this space if you are an architect, a landscape architect who is really yearning to let go completely of the old forms, the old ways of practicing architecture that are depleting you, that are not speaking to your soul, that are, that really thrives on, or rather feeds off of a way of operating that is where stress and grind is a necessary part of the equation, the formula. You're tired. You're tired of the overworking. You're tired of the unaligned ways of designing that are not, that you know deeply are not paving the way for your ultimate healing, transformation, and ascension. So today, I want to be talking about the kinds of forms that I see, I've been receiving through my transmissions, the messages and the visions that I've been receiving from the spirit of the land, from the beings of light who are here to help us usher in the new paradigm. And they are the ones that I'm connecting with on a regular basis are particularly interested in architecture, particularly interested in helping us to craft, shape, sculpt new forms that we haven't seen before, or perhaps we've seen them eons before, but still, there's a new take on it. There's a new way of building them. There's a new way of outwardly expressing them. And they are wanting us to listen to those new codes, those new keys, those new frequencies that are entering in, informing us, showing us the new human architecture, the new way of creating spaces. And something that I have noticed in spiritual design circles is it can happen where we tend to want to copy the old ancient architecture, the old temple architecture, whether it be from ancient Greece, whether it be from ancient Egypt, whether maybe even from Atlantis. And while we have a lot to learn, a lot to study, a lot to remember about these sacred places, the point is actually not to copy them. The point is not to actually take pieces of them and overlay them onto quote-unquote modern architecture. That actually in itself is a very fragmented process, to kind of copy-paste, to kind of extrapolate or pull out the, you know, the Ionic column and then place it on, you know, a new contemporary building. Now, whatever I say, there's always a window of a doorway that's open for me, always for, actually, maybe in this situation, the Greek Ionic column kind of worked with this project. But in general, what the kind of architecture that I have been helping my clients and encouraging my clients to birth with the help of the Sacred Blueprint is totally new forms that are aligned with their signature energy, aligned with the signature energy of the land, the particular property, and it could be the signature energy of the group soul, because a lot of the clients that I'm working with are either, you know, like a core leadership group where they're wanting to create a community. It could be partners, right? Whether, you know, they're couples or business partners. So it's like, what is the group soul, the essence, signature energy of the vision of the project? That's the thing we start to tune into. And what are the forms? What are the unique forms that are required to make that project sing? What are the unique forms that are required to support that community to unfold in its highest way possible? Or if we're talking about an individual, what are the forms that are best suited for your clients? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about a hodgepodge. I'm not talking about making something original or different just for the sake of making it original or different. So what I'm about to share, you know, there are different answers for different contexts. So for example, my business coach, Kendra E. Thornberry, and I, we were in conversation about, okay, what is the new earth? What are the sanctuaries that are going to really, the kinds of sanctuaries that are really going to usher in the new paradigm, the new earth? And in within that wave of conversation, some research came up around the recent, just want to look at, see if I can find it here, the recent announcement from the White House and the Trump administration that they want to make federal architecture beautiful again. Now, I'm not someone who follows politics. I don't have a political stance, really. I don't follow any kind of political party or anything. So it's just some information that came up, and it's like, interesting. wanting to make federal architecture beautiful again. And I was reading the article, and they're wanting to put some kind of, design parameters on institutional buildings, federal buildings, and ensure that they are designed as per classical architecture, neoclassical. There's a whole list of what, right, classical architecture means, and also what brutalist architecture is, what deconstructivist architecture is. And it's actually really worth reading this through an objective lens, because there are actually some truths within this article, or rather declaration, but also there's something big that's missing. There's a spiritual essence that's missing. So they're referring to Renaissance architects, using the vocabulary of the architecture of Greek and Roman antiquity. Okay, so using these forms, they say principles too, although I question how many of the neoclassical architects really were able to use the principles. And so on and so forth. And so some of these architects, I'm sure, are working with things like divine proportions, right? Golden ratios. There's a certain balance. There's a certain harmony. There's a certain aesthetic that actually really does speak to the, you know, the larger, wider population. You know, I always think of like a grandma as a really good, we call it litmus test. I'm not sure if I'm using that word correctly. You know, it's like, yeah, that's a nice building. No, that's an ugly building. What is that? That looks like a, you know, like a dark cage, you know? And meanwhile, you know, all the all the, you know, famous architects are like, "What do you mean, grandma? This is my work of art. It's a masterpiece, right?" So, I'm talking about the kinds of forms that actually really humanity have figured out along the way that are actually very healing for us. Whether or not our egos like it, it's like there's something, there's an underbelly there. There's a truth. They're working with actually nature's principles. You could say they're nature's designs principles. You could say they are looking at, you know, the human body, like Leonardo da Vinci did, studied so well, right? Looking at the proportions of the human body. And then, you know, how does that translate to architecture? Vitruvius did that. So a lot of you who studied architecture, you know, don't need this lecture. I'm certain that you know what I'm talking about. And then they talk about deconstructivist architecture means the style of architecture generally known as deconstructivism that emerged during the late 1980s and that features fragmentation, disorder, discontinuity, distortion, skewed geometry, and the appearance of instability. So I would say this is actually correct here. Deconstructive architecture we studied in architecture school, and it's deconstructivist. It's deconstructing, and it's dismembering. It's making things into pieces rather than a harmonious whole. Some architects may want to argue with me, but on a phenomenological level, that is what you see when you look at the forms and you describe the forms purely objectively, not whether or not you like the building or not. When you observe that building, it's falling apart. Not a good thing, not a bad thing, but it's falling apart. And it's our responsibility as spirit architects to look at, is this a responsible thing to build on an energetic spiritual level? Is this a building that is going to support health vitality and life-affirming ways of living for society, for humanity. They get into brutalist architecture, means the style of architecture that grew out of the early 20th century modernist movement that is characterized by a massive and block-like appearance with a rigid geometric style and large-scale use of exposed poured concrete. Generally correct. Now, it's funny, you know, when they go into the classical piece, they go into describing, giving examples of all these types of all these architects who designed neoclassical, Georgian, federal. I didn't know that was actually an architectural style. Interesting. Greek Revival, Beaux-Arts, Art Deco. They give a fair amount of examples of which kind of architects created these kinds of buildings, but they didn't give examples for the others, like brutalist architecture, deconstructivist. So this is a deep topic, and I may actually go into this a little bit deeper in the following podcast episodes or dive into other windows of it. But this is a really important topic to look at. Now, let me first make this statement. After many years of and continuing to esoteric wisdom or esoteric training, meditation, alchemical healing practice, geomancy, you know, I have come to know the world of the spirit dimensions, the spiritual dimensions, and still learning, still discovering, okay? It's a never-ending process. And the moment I realized, wow, as an architect, I actually have a responsibility to use magic, to use and work with and commune with the realms of spirit to create an architecture that is truly nourishing and healing for the individual, for the family, for the collective, for the community, and the whole world. And when you study spiritual truths, because it's a study, it's not, I mean, some people are born with spiritual gifts, and I know that I was as well, but it took me some time to figure that out, right? I mean, can anyone relate, right? Some of you may be on that path right now. It may be unfolding for you. You may be receiving the nudges from spirit, from your body, the alarms, like however, you know, it can look like a beautiful, you know, Vivaldi, musical score, or it can be as messy as, I don't know, like crying and experiencing depression, you know, for months on end. So, or chronic illness like I experienced, or it could be a combination of the both. So when you study spiritual truths, what I think is a healthy thing to study as well is the evolution of humanity and look at, and the evolution of the consciousness of humanity and look at, okay, well, humanity was at a certain point in the ancient Greek period, Hellenistic period. Humanity was at a certain point of evolution in the ancient Greek. Humanity was at a certain point of evolution in the Sumerian period. Humanity was at a certain point of evolution in Atlantis. And when I say that, I don't mean that that we are at a stage where we are advanced in everything compared to the other civilizations, because I'm sure you know that, you know, in ancient Egypt, we were so advanced in so many respects, and yet we were not fully materialized. Someone who I do not collaborate with, she doesn't even know me, but I very much respect her lectures and her teachings, is Gigi Young. She actually teaches also through the lens, predominantly through the lens of anthroposophy, which is, I always have difficulty explaining what anthroposophy is, but really a lens, a worldview, a spiritual science, you could say. And that body of spiritual teachings, which was were initially initiated by Rudolf Steiner, is a very healthy, in my opinion, body of work, body of teachings, transmissions, spiritual truths, studies, practical examples of the truth of spiritual life. Okay. And part of that, because it's a whole, I mean, there's so much to study in that realm. But part of that is to understand and study the metamorphosis of humanity, the transformation of humanity, the evolution of humanity from its original essence to where we are today, and where we're gonna where we're gonna go. Now, if you were to just get a sense, you don't need to know history, you don't need to know all the dates, you don't need to have studied, you know, art history very well or architectural history, but just get a sense of, okay, there's been a history, and there are all different kinds of styles, expressions of architecture that these civilizations have created, right? Some works of architecture look quite different than others. So in comparison, if you were to think of the Greek temple, think about the Acropolis, right? Compared to the Roman Colosseum, while there may be some similarities, hints of similarities there, there's actually some fundamental differences between the two. Likewise, if you were to compare the temple, the Greek temple, with the pyramid, those are two very different forms. And maybe there are some other images of ancient architecture that is coming to your mind. I mean, you can think about, yeah, there's some other temples in ancient Egypt that are not like a pyramid, that are more rectangular with these kinds of more like ancient Greek, I don't know if it's correct to use the word Doric. I feel like there's an even older word for that ancient Egyptian column, but we can say that. So there's a change. Buildings look different over time. And it's not just because there's actually a very specific reason. And actually, I'm just going to reach over to some of the architecture books that I recommend to some of you that Steiner, based on Steiner's lectures on architecture, that I recommend. Actually, I'll do it before I forget. So there's Architecture as a Synthesis of Arts. So those of you who are watching the YouTube video, you can look that up. And Rudolf Steiner, Architecture, here. Okay. And by the way, the Sacred Blueprint and the way that I create architecture has been inspired by Rudolf Steiner, but it's not it's not in any way, shape, or form attempting to copy the kind of architecture that he and his followers created. I just want to make that clear. But these lectures are very deep, and they're worth reading for spirit architects to understand the history, why certain forms are created in a certain way. So each and every one of these stages in architecture, okay, mark a certain stage in humanity's evolution and consciousness. And you could say the ancient Hellenistic, ancient Greek, there was just this sweet spot, absolute sweet spot, where the human body was the building was the human body, and the outward expression of nature's forces were just calculated and expressed down to a T. And the temples were honoring many different gods and goddesses. The priests and priestesses of the time who really understood the mysteries understood that they were actually connected to one god, to one source, to one essence. But, you know, later down the road, it kind of maybe got a little bit wacky, and yeah, there was competitions going on between whose god was better than their god. And that happened at the end of ancient Egypt as well, and many other civilizations. So it's kind of like this ongoing, this cyclical thing, a pattern that reappears in humanity's unfoldment. So where am I getting here with this deeper topic, which is so crucial for the future architecture, for the sanctuaries that need to be birthed. So the ancient, that was the focus for ancient Greek, in ancient Egypt, the temple let's look at the pyramid, was very much focused actually on the rising up of the soul, of the spirit, up to the cosmos, but also the downward focus of that spirit looking down on, you could say, the mummified body, the physical body, the body of the temple with its four corners, and looking down upon that physicality, the materiality, so that materiality became the main focus. It's like, okay, humanity has not fully materialized yet, because it's true, we didn't hit full materialization until from the Christian mystic perspective, which I'm not saying that I always adhere to, but I do feel close to be honest, because there's so many of these truths actually hidden in every single religious book, in the Quran, in the Torah, in other teachings, but that the full materialization occurred when Christ was fully embodied by the body of Jesus. And I think Gigi Young talks about how the blood moves down into the earth and fully unites with the earth. Okay. And so there's just this full on materialization. I mean, spirit entered the body down to the bones, down to the blood. And that's a crucial turning point in humanity, and it actually happened to all of us. And so the temple is within. The spirit is within. The great spirit, as the indigenous would call, the great spirit is within. But it wasn't like that before. It wasn't like that before. And there was a bit more of a separation too. Like the common people also couldn't go to the temples, the Greek temples. Only the priests and priestesses, the initiates, could enter those temples, right? So there's a big difference now. Now we can enter into almost, you know, any kind of spiritual temple or center or whatever. And the rules are changing, right? And it's becoming more about individualization. So we are all part of the Great Spirit. We are all part of the cosmos. We are all children of God. But we all are different manifestations and expressions of them, with different colors and flavors and characters. And we're each a sculpture within ourselves. Okay, so there's so much to get into here, actually. And now what our task is to ascend from materiality and actually to infuse matter with spirit. And I'm not saying that I have it all figured out, like the blueprint for, you know, it's like, this is how the new temple needs to look. Actually, that is the opposite of what we need. We don't need that one blueprint. We don't need the one, you know, Greek temple that just gets kind of replicated in different ways, with different orientations and maybe different proportions and maybe different number of columns and a different height. But, you know, in essence, it was kind of like the same blueprint, right? And there's so much to learn about this ancient architecture. So I'm by no means saying that you turn your heads away from these incredible works of architecture. We definitely need to pick up the keys and codes from these ancient sites and plant these seeds towards the future architecture. But what I'm talking about is a totally new kind of architecture, which I feel Rudolf Steiner started to touch on, and some other architects that have really spoken to my heart, that came from different movements, all across the board. So not necessarily one category. And I'm going to get back to the whole make federal buildings beautiful again piece here. What we need is an authentic, heart-centered, beautiful expression of where we are at right now in the evolution of humanity. And we actually have all the answers within. I've poured my love into weaving the divine feminine into the way that I practice architecture, into the way that I practice the sacred blueprint. I mean, the sacred blueprint is an expression of honoring the divine feminine along with the divine feminine in an architecture system and practice. And we need to actually start to co-create with the livingness, the being of the land, and co-create with the angels above, the ones who especially are very interested in creating beautiful architecture with us. They have so many blueprints. They have so many solutions, coupled with your higher self and the higher self of your client and your soul, that results in a totally new kind of form. But not a form for just form's sake. I cannot emphasize this enough. Not just to be like, ooh, I did this, and then I did that, and then, ooh, I twisted this tower, and then I, you know, put this on. No. A responsible and beautiful and harmonious blueprint that really helps the unfoldment of humanity in its specific context. There may be some blueprints that are coming in, and I can kind of see them too, that feel a bit more universal, and they could be applied in different parts of the world, which is possible. But then they'll always have some kind of a twist to it, right? Where you want to be sensitive to the local climate. You want to be sensitive to the local community there. You want to be sensitive sometimes even to the vernacular. So there are some, you know, it's a and but kind of scenario. So some of the themes that I do feel that are important for the future architecture is this idea of metamorphosis, which I mentioned just briefly earlier, where we have a sense that something is growing into something new, and that it encourages that ascension process for us. And we see that acted out in the architecture. There's more of a movement in the architecture, but it doesn't mean that it needs to be overly organic. It could still be an architecture that is more rectangular in form, for example, but there's a progression. There's a harmony. I'm seeing some Islamic architecture right now that I've seen, you know, in Isfahan, that have a kind of taste of that as well, even though it's a, let's say, an older, you know, architecture, but we can be inspired by these forms, certainly. And it's an architecture that is growing upwards. It's life affirming. It's not about putting all these pieces together or dissecting all these pieces or making one piece kind of hover ever so precariously over another very thin piece. I mean, I'm trying to show it to you with my hands for those of you who are listening to the audio. Feel free to jump over into the YouTube to see what I'm talking about. But these very kind of precarious cantilevers or glass boxes that have come from modernism. And I understand that it needed to happen that way because we needed to rid ourselves of all the excessive ornamentation, which was just ending up turning into some gaudy, I don't know, vomit of unnecessary frivolousness in architecture. And Adolf Loos talked about how, is it ornament is crime or ornament is a crime, was a crime? I forget the exact title. And it's understandable at that point in humanity's evolution, actually, we were going really down into materialism and we didn't understand the spiritual function behind these ornaments. And no longer did the people in the later ends of the Renaissance or Rococo or whatever, they were just like copying, right? And just copy-pasting all of these forms. But in true essence, when we study them in in the ancient Greek temples, they were just the most divine expression of nature's forces in action. And proportions in action. So the spirit architect of today needs to have that education, needs to understand that the growth that occurred, and that architecture is an outward manifestation of human consciousness. Rudolf Steiner talked about, do I have a sketch here? Rudolf Steiner also talked about the Roman arch and how actually that was an outer expression of the ego forming. because it wasn't formed to the level of density or definitiveness. That it is today, or that it was at the Roman stage. So this arch actually isn't, yes, it's Roman engineering with concrete and brickwork and all of that. It's an amazing feat of engineering, the arch. It's helped us so much. It helped us architects so much create these beautiful archways, right? And then it turned into the Gothic cathedrals and all of that, right? The arches. But it was this formation, the formation of the ego above our heads that started to take shape. That's what was going on in the spiritual energetic world. But the outer manifestation of that, and please forgive me, I do need to read the lecture again. I may not be saying it quite as eloquently or as specifically as Rudolf Steiner was saying it, but that is generally the gist of it. And there's so much more. I mean, one thing with Steiner, you definitely cannot quote him. I mean, people do, but it's challenging to do so because you need to read like 5 or 10 pages before that quote and 5 or 10 pages after the quote to fully understand the whole context of what he's saying, okay? It's definitely not a one-liner kind of impulse or one-liner kind of architecture, okay? So these pieces that we see in modernism, so I don't know if you remember, you know, cutting models, making building models in architecture school, and it was all about these pieces. It was all about these separate different pieces. And modernism was definitely an expression of that, an outer expression of that, this fragmentation. It's like, okay, we're going to analyze things. Science, right? Take the frog out of its context, dissect the frog into all these different pieces to understand what the frog is. Well, that's no longer the kind of science that people are now acknowledging is the right science. I mean, I'm just giving a picture here. I'm not talking exactly about dissecting the frog or not or whatever, but it's just a picture. It's an illustration of what I'm talking about. And so architecture and modernism was very much about the pieces. Okay, this surface meets that surface, and then this piece is meeting that, and then, but often it would be very precarious because it was very much put together in the mind, in the material mind, this kind of architecture. Again, it was refreshing because it got rid of what this article talks about, making federal architecture beautiful again. It got rid of the neoclassical, frou-frou, frilly-frilly kind of architecture, which actually for an artist and an artistic architect, and the part of us in the collective that wants to evolve is kind of like, well, I'm sick of everything looking like a neoclassical building. I'm sick of everything looking like a copied, you know, temple, Greek temple. Now, I really feel like I'm going to have to do a part two here, but let me just continue going just a little bit, and then I'll wrap up in a few moments here. So going back to this, okay, well, we need to make federal buildings beautiful again. I mean, there's a consciousness there that the brutalist and the deconstructivist buildings are not healthy. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. And then it's like, well, no, we need to be responsible and build beautiful buildings again, right? For the public. And for, I don't know, for Congress or the Senate, or I don't know these. I'm Canadian, so. But is, and let me know. I mean, share with me, reply to my emails, or you know, add in the comments of the YouTube video. You know, what do you think? You know, do you think that classical architecture, neoclassical architecture, is the answer for making federal buildings beautiful again, or any kind of government building all around the world? So on one hand, we know there are studies that buildings with divine proportions, with columns laid out in certain equidistant from each other at certain patterns, right, and measurements, do emit a healing frequency. And we need to start to know that again. And I'm glad, and I mean, I don't know to the degree of which, I haven't read the entire article here. I don't think that they're going to get into the whole energy part of it, right? Because that might start to freak people out or whatever. But I know that the people who are running, who are attempting to run the world, who have been attempting to, and I'm not suggesting that it's a certain political party or not. I'm talking about another bigger group here. They know how, like, they know the power of architecture. They know it. They know about magic. And in fact, unfortunately, they're using dark magic, right, to either repress people or open up kind of weird portals and do all kinds of weird propaganda shit, okay? Architecture, and even beautiful architecture that could be neoclassical, it could be another kind of style, has been used over time in history to brainwash people, or to convince people that things are okay. Or, I mean, Hitler, right? Just think, there, he hired architects. He was using some tools there, some kind of proportion tools, energetic tools. Again, I'm not an expert on this. I'm not an expert. I'm sure there are some phenomenal architect experts. In fact, there were some at my school, university. There was one or two that I think they knew about this kind of stuff. But anyway, so what I'm getting at here is the answer to just go back to a previous form of architecture and copy it? Because really, that's what neoclassical architecture is. And I want to be fair here. Let's list out what the other buildings or types of buildings would be allowed. Right, there's Art Deco. I mean, I'm a huge Art Deco fan. In Istanbul, in Turkey, where I live, I mean, I live in Izmir. There are some Art Decos in buildings in Izmir, but even more in Istanbul. And they're just phenomenal buildings. Absolutely beautiful. So Art Deco, what was it? Federal, Greek Revival, Beaux-Arts. I mean, yeah, these are beautiful. They are beautiful. But is it what we need for our highest unfoldment? We can be inspired. Absolutely. But I'm here to pioneer the new forms. I'm here to listen to the pulse of Mother Gaia, Mother Earth. Listen to her pulse and listen to those new, fresh, contemporary frequencies that are being emitted from the belly, the soil, the earth that is our changing and growing earth. I'm here to be an architect, an instrument, to listen to the frequencies that are coming through from the angels above, from the cosmos, who are sending us these amazing blueprints, who are wanting us to work with them and shape them as well. Shape them ourselves. And then there's, of course, there's a continuation to that. And these are the kinds of architecture that actually is really a spirit technology of the future. And it's the kind of architecture that will support free energy. It will support all new ways, new modalities, new ways of sustainable design that are rooted actually in spirit and in energy. It's not a kind of materialistic sustainability. And ultimately, that these buildings are actually living beings, and they too are wanting to be birthed like babies on this earth. And they need us to help them grow. They need us to help them evolve. And they need us to fill them with life too. Use them, work with them, create with them. Use them as instruments for our ascension. I do not have a fixed guidebook on exactly what these buildings look like, but I will tell you that in these recent couple years, I've been receiving more and more visions of what those buildings can look like. And some of them are very earthy, very rooted in the earth or local kind of culture. Maybe even just like a slight shift of a local vernacular, while others look very futuristic. And sometimes, maybe sometimes even otherworldly. But they all have a place in the new earth. And I'm sure that as I am speaking, you are receiving images and visions and pictures and sensations and feelings of what those new buildings look like. And there have been architects over time that I feel have been planting those seeds, especially in the 20th, 21st century. And they're spearheading, they're accelerating that impulse, they're moving it forward. By birthing, helping to build and create the most incredible works of architecture. Gaudi is one, I feel, of those architects and many others. So, share with me in the comments. All you spirit architects, is the answer to making federal or government buildings beautiful again using neoclassical, Georgian, Greek Revival, Beaux-Arts, and Art Deco styles again? All right. Well, I love serving you. I love having this conversation. I feel like this is opening up a whole series of other episodes that I'm excited to share with you in the upcoming weeks. And I'm just at a whole other level of readiness, my dear community, to build these blueprints. And I'm at a whole other level. I just got a knock on the door, so I'm just going to keep on going because I have someone opening the door. But what I want to share too is if you are an architect, a woman architect or landscape architect who is yearning, eager, ready to start to bridge spirit with architecture and is committed to build the healing sanctuaries for our future, we have an amazing retreat coming up, a very intimate vessel. Something that I have lovingly crafted over several years of leading women architects and designers to the ancient site of Ephesus in Turkey. And my collaborator and I, Anemona Krishan, will be leading this intimate circle May 2026. And I just need to look at the dates here. Hold on a second. I'm going to just open up my laptop here, calendar. Yes. So we are gathering this time for 5 nights and 5 days. It was previously 4 nights and 4 days, but we just, after leading so many retreats, we realized, oh my God, okay, these women need one more day, especially to integrate all of the powerful experiences and energies and take more nourishing time at our phenomenal, stunning retreat center that overlooks stunning views of nature and the ancient city. So we are gathering May 11th to May 16th, and spots are limited. If you are interested, make sure you fill out the application. The link to the retreat and where you need to sign up for the application is below in the description. And is there anything else I want to say? Well, it's an absolutely powerful, powerful experience. And Ephesus and the Temple of Artemis there is emanating with a new frequency that is calling the temple builders of the ancient temple builders of the future to come together and build the sanctuaries of our new earth. And it's time to build the beauty. So I look forward to seeing you in the group. And until next time, thanks for joining today's episode. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architect Dress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architect Dress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, gule gule.